My brother Vin got married about 2 years ago. And recently I spoke to him about what married life has been like. Now it's been about 2 years since he got married. And one of the things he said to me was that when he got married, the time that he got married, one of the hardest things for him was the idea that not only did he have to leave Australia and go live in Canada, but one of the hardest things for my brother was that the idea that he had to leave his home, his room, mum and dad, his brother, all the comforts and all the necessities that he had at home, all the things that made him so comfortable at home, he now had to lose those things or leave those things and go somewhere else. And now that he is over there in Canada, he's been married for about 2 years, I asked him, well, how's the transition been? And he actually said to me, you know what, even though I've kind of lost some of those things, you know, like not being with the family, not being at home, not being in my home country of Australia, he actually told me that it's actually made him a better man. It's actually grown him to be more responsible, more mature, more godly now, because now he's had to grow up. He can't just rely on mum and dad and the family and the home anymore. He's had to kind of do things on his own. So one of the biggest things my brother realized being married is that he didn't understand, he didn't realize that actually losing something could actually be better for him. Now, unless most of us here are not married and not engaged or moved out of home, but I wonder for some of you guys here, have you ever lost something or lost someone in your life that actually turned out to be better for you? Can you guys think of a moment that actually happened? I think it's kind of hard for us because often in our thinking is if I lose something or if I lose someone in my life, that's going to be a disadvantage to me. Very rarely does it actually become an advantage to us to actually lose something that we love, something that we cherish. But today, friends, I want to actually begin this 10-part sermon series on the Holy Spirit. And I want to set the backdrop, all right? I want to set the foundation by focusing on Jesus' words, which is found in John 16, verse 7. Jesus himself said this, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you." I want you to let those words sink in for a moment. Jesus, the Son of God, who died on the cross, who rose again, who ascended and sits at the right hand of God the Father, actually said to his disciples, "It's to your advantage that I leave." Interesting. Now, prior to this passage, and setting the context right, prior to this passage, Jesus, the disciples' Lord and Savior and their intimate friend, he's been telling his disciples for quite some time that I'm about to leave you now. And the time will come when I die, when I rise again, and when I ascend into heaven. When that happens, Jesus says, I will leave you. I will depart. And keep in mind that for the last 3 years, every time the disciples needed something, they turned to Jesus. Every time they needed power or prayer or help or assistance on something, they always turned to Jesus. He was their Lord, their Savior, their friend, and their God. Now Jesus says to them, I'm about to leave you. You will never see me like this again for a very, very, very long time. But he actually says to them that when I leave you, it's actually going to be better for you that I go. Because unless I go, the Holy Spirit will not come to you. Now, I'm not sure if the disciples who heard this for the first time, or you and I today who are hearing it, I'm not sure if a lot of us would actually agree with that. I'm going to guess that most of us, if we had the choice to have the physical Jesus or the Holy Spirit, I think most of us would probably choose the physical Jesus. I think Leah hit it on the head really well. I want that physical contact, be able to see him in person, see his face and touch him if I can. For sure, the person Jesus is far better than the Spirit. And see, and one of the things that we often do is that the Spirit has become this sort of faceless person of the Trinity. He's kind of the often forgotten one. Because when we think about God the Father, we think, well, he's the one who created us and loved us. When we think about God the Son, well, he's the one who died for us and laid down his life for us. But what do we attribute to the Spirit? We can't really pinpoint anything that he's really done for us. So often we kind of push him to the side. Our songs aren't always about him. It's usually about the Father and the Son, but he's sort of the forgotten one, the leftover one. We don't give him too much attention. I think that's to our fault and to our shame. Because look at what Jesus says. He actually says it's to your advantage that I go away. He actually says it's better that you have the Spirit and not have me. Have you ever thought of the Holy Spirit that way? Have you actually thought that in your life right now and for this church, it's actually better to have the Spirit than to actually have Jesus here? Jesus says it's true. He's not just saying it as a word to make his disciples feel better about themselves. He actually says it because it's true. And what I want to do today, and what I want to do over the next 9 talks after this, is prove to you and show you from Scripture how what Jesus says actually came true. How actually having the Spirit of God is actually more of an advantage to us than having the Son of God. As unbelievable as that sounds, it's actually true. And in this passage here today, guys, Jesus gives us 3 reasons why it's true. So if you want to write these down, you guys can. 3 reasons in this passage why actually having the Spirit is better for us. First thing that Jesus says is that the Spirit is better because He's all present. From verses 8 to 11, if you guys have your Bible, just kind of have a look through in verses 8 to 11. Jesus says that the Spirit is all present. In these verses, Jesus says that the Helper, which is another name for the Holy Spirit, says that He will come into the world and He will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. In other words, what Jesus is saying is that there is no way any of us here can come to a knowledge of God or salvation in Christ unless the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin, our need for righteousness, and the coming judgment. There is no way any of us here can be saved unless the Holy Spirit convicts us of these things. There is absolutely no way. Jesus makes that very, very clear. That means no amount of your words or your preaching or your best efforts will ever do. It's the power and the working of the Spirit. He does those things. And so you might be thinking, well, that's great, but how is that any better? Jesus says it's actually an advantage, but I mean, let's be honest, Jesus has done those things. So how is this any better than what Jesus has done? If you guys look at your Bible, look very carefully about what Jesus is saying. Yes, Jesus did do and say the same things, but notice that Jesus says that the Spirit will convict the world. It's a very subtle thing that he says. We often kind of overlook that. But he actually says that the Spirit will convict the world. If you guys are sort of familiar with the Apostle Paul from the Bible, you'll know that the Apostle Paul was in prison for a number of years. If you guys know that. Do you guys know what he did when he was in prison for all those years? For a lot of those years? Yeah, he wrote a bunch of letters to the church. And the amazing thing was that though Paul was confined and was kind of locked down into one location, he was able to actually write all these letters and send them out of prison as a way to empower and encourage the church, even while he was locked down and stuck in one place at one time. Even though he was stuck in one place, his influence and his words could actually go far beyond the prison walls. But you know, Paul wasn't the first one to be stuck in one location and yet have his influence reach all the world. See, guys, what we need to realize in a similar way, though Jesus is God in power, remember that he's also human in form. Did you guys know that when Jesus was on earth, he was a man? That means as a man like you and I, he was confined to one space in one time. When he was in Jerusalem, he could only be in Jerusalem. When he was at the Sea of Galilee, he could only be at the Sea of Galilee. As a man, he was confined and locked down to one place at one time. He couldn't be everywhere in all the world. He can't go to all the continents of the world. As a man, he's in one place. But like Paul's letters to the churches, the Holy Spirit is like Jesus' letter to all the world, which he sends out into all the world in order to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And this is why Jesus can say, it is actually to your advantage that I go away. Because what the Spirit is about to do, he's about to take what Jesus has done in this one little lonely part in Jerusalem, and he's actually about to take it into all the parts of all the world. Into every corner, every nook and cranny of all creation, the Spirit will take the words of Jesus, the power of Jesus, and actually show it to every single part of this world. Whereas Jesus, the man, he could not do that. the breadth of influence and the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit far outweighs and outreaches that of Jesus. But personally, for us, this actually has been to our advantage. The Spirit of God actually took the gospel of Christ and brought it to countries like Vietnam and Australia. I don't know if you guys realize, but if the Holy Spirit didn't take the gospel to Vietnam or Australia, do a lot of you guys, or all of us here, would not be Christian. If the gospel never went to Vietnam, if the gospel never came to Australia, or Indonesia, or China, or wherever you come from, none of us here would be Christian. It has been to our advantage, hasn't it? It has been to our advantage that the Spirit took what Jesus had done and went to all the continents and to all the places of the world. Because it is the Spirit who is actually all present in all creation. And if the Spirit didn't do that, then we would not be Christian today. So it has been to our advantage that the Spirit is all present. But not just that. Jesus also says in verses 12 to 13 that the Spirit is also all-knowing. Jesus himself says that when his time on earth, though it was limited, he had so many more things to say to his disciples, but he actually didn't have the time to do it. If you look at the verses, he actually says that, I have more things to say to you, but my time has come. What the Spirit does is take the unspoken things of Jesus and actually declares it to all the world. All the things that Jesus didn't actually say to us, the Spirit is actually going to say it to us. And so when the Spirit comes, it says that he will guide us into all truth. The Spirit reveals to us the truth of who God is. It is the Spirit who reveals to us the truth of God, the revelation of God and who he is to us. If the Spirit didn't do that, you and I would have no relationship with God at all. There's a bit of an old movie, or it's probably not too old, but maybe I'm showing my age here. It's a movie called What Women Want. I don't know if any of you guys have heard of this before, or even seen it. Seen some nodding heads, yeah? It's made in back, like, I think about the year 2000. So I think most of you guys here were probably born then. I was just born then. So it's a movie called What Women Want. If you haven't seen it yet, it's a kind of a comical thing. It's a comedy movie. It's about a man, Mel Gibson, who, after an accident, he actually gains the ability to hear the thoughts of women. Yeah, Stephen hits it right. Oh my gosh, you really want that. So he actually gains the ability to hear what women are thinking. He knows their most deepest, darkest, and most intimate thoughts. He hears them all in the movie. And I wondered, for all the boys here in this room, all the males, all the fellas in this room, what would it be like if you could, even for a day, hear the thoughts of a girl? If you could know what was going through the mind of a girl, even for a day, what would you do with that? Would you go crazy? Or would you want to actually know, and ask, you know, all those times where she gets moody and emotional with you and you feel like it's not even your fault, would you want to know why it's your fault? Do you want to know why she's so angry with you? Maybe just knowing her thoughts and knowing her mind will give you a glimpse into who she is. See, for Mel Gibson in this movie, he had that opportunity. He had the chance to know what it was like to know what a girl was thinking, to know what was going through her mind. Well, let me ask you, what would you do if you could know the thoughts of God? What would it be like if you knew what was actually going through God's mind? Far better than what you know from a woman's mind. What about God? You see, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 says, "For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God." Did you know that the Holy Spirit actually reveals to us what's going on in God's head? If you've ever wanted to know what God is possibly thinking, how he feels about you, what he thinks about this world, what he's thinking about for the future, what he knows about the past. If you want to know what God's thinking, the Holy Spirit actually reveals that to us. Amazing, right? Much better than knowing about the hearts and the minds of a girl, believe me. Knowing the mind of God far outweighs anything. So how does the Holy Spirit actually do this? I think the best and clearest example is the Bible in which you guys are holding in your hands or on your lap right now. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 says that all scripture is breathed out by God. In other words, the breath or the spirit of God, as he's also known, actually put the Bible together. That means the thoughts and the truth of God, which is revealed to us in scripture, is revealed by the Holy Spirit. John Piper actually says this great quote. He says, "The Spirit inspired the Word, and therefore he goes wherever the Word goes. The more of God's Word you know and love, the more of God's Spirit you will experience." I don't think there's any words that have been spoken more truthfully than that. You see, without the Holy Spirit, guys, we cannot know God. Without the Holy Spirit, we cannot understand him. We cannot have a relationship with him. So every time you open your Bible, that's the Holy Spirit revealing to you the truth of who God is. Therefore, if you want to know God, to learn and to grow in your understanding of him, we desperately need to ask the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. If you don't have the Holy Spirit with you, the Bible simply becomes an empty book. It's the Spirit who reveals the truth to us. Now, I don't know if you guys have noticed, but over the last, I think, year or so, every time we have service and we come together and we have someone who reads the Bible out to us, I don't know if you guys noticed, but before we do that, we actually have someone to pray before we read the Bible. I don't know if you guys have ever questioned why we do that. I want you to know now the reason why we do that. It's not because it's some religious ritual that we do. We as a church acknowledge that every time we open the Bible and read it, we must always first start by praying and asking the Holy Spirit to reveal the truth to us. That's why we do it. It's not a religious duty that we tick off the box. No. We are humbled people. We understand we have limited wisdom. But only by the wisdom and power of God through his Spirit can we understand his word. So guys, can I encourage you that every time you go home and you read the Bible on your own, or if you do it with your family or you do it here at church, can I encourage you guys, please always pray before you do so. Do not depend on your own intellect or wisdom to do that. It's the Spirit. It's his word. He actually reveals to us the mind and heart of God. Why would we not pray to him? The Spirit does that, and he does it through the word of God. And let me just give a really short plug. For those of you guys here who are in high school under the age of 18, you guys might know that we have gift once every 2 weeks on a Friday night. A gift is a time that we actually come together and we pray, we read the Bible, and we study the Bible together. We are a group who understand that through the Spirit, he reveals the truth of Scripture to us. So if you're not going to give, can I encourage you guys to please go to that? Through that, you actually get to know that the mind and the heart of God, you don't want to bypass a thing like that. And if you're over the age of 18, you guys know that we have a Bible study on Tuesday or Wednesday. If you're not plugged into one of those groups, can I encourage you? Please get plugged in. In those groups, we pray and we seek the Holy Spirit. He speaks to us and he shares the truth of Scripture to us. That's something that you guys don't want to skip. You want to get connected to that. The Spirit speaks. He shows us the truth of God. And we can do that as a group together. So let me encourage you guys to either go to GIFT or go to one of those Bible studies. It's a great way to get in touch with the Spirit and have him speak to us. So we see that he is all present. He's also all knowing. But the Spirit is also something else as well. The Spirit doesn't just declare the gospel, and the Spirit doesn't just convict people of their sin and reveal the truth of Scripture to us. Jesus also says that the Spirit is all glorifying. In verse 14, Jesus says that the Spirit will glorify me. In other words, all that the Spirit does glorifies Jesus. Furthermore, Jesus also says that all that the Father has is mine. That means, on top of that, not only does the Spirit and all he does glorify Jesus, all the Spirit does also glorifies God the Father as well. Therefore, when the Spirit convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment, it's not just for the benefit of the people, it's actually to glorify God the Father and God the Son. When you guys read the Bible and you understand an awesome truth and that encourages your heart, you know that's just not for you. That actually glorifies God the Father and God the Son. See, when the Spirit declares the unspoken things of Jesus to us and convicts us, that brings glory to God. And so when the Spirit of God works in our church here at Kingsgrove, it's not just for our benefit or our glory. It's actually for the glory of God the Father and God the Son. That's all he's about.
That's the work, that's the purpose, that's the business of the Holy Spirit. All he does glorifies God the Father and God the Son. So as a church here at King's Rock, can I just ask you guys this question? Is your prayer and desire for our church to glorify God in all we do? It sounds like a very simple question, kind of a generic question, I get that. But when you guys pray for this church, which I hope you guys do, when you have desires and plans for this church, which I hope you guys do, is it to glorify God in all that we do? If it's yes, which I hope it is, can I say then to you that if it is a yes, then the only possible way we actually can glorify God in this church is if we have the Holy Spirit. Because the truth of the matter is, our church cannot glorify God if we don't have the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit's main objective is to glorify God. That means even if you're a regular church attender, or even if you go to Bible study, but if you don't have the Holy Spirit with you, if this church does not have the Holy Spirit, it doesn't matter how busy we are. It doesn't matter how great our music is. It doesn't matter how many ministries we have or how great we teach things. The fact of the matter is, Jesus says, if we don't have the Holy Spirit, we actually cannot. It is actually impossible to glorify God if we do not have the Holy Spirit. It comes down to that. Therefore, brothers and sisters, as your pastor in this church, I do not ask and I do not pray and I do not desire that this church become more busy. I don't want us to become a busy church, plugging holes and doing events and programs just to make people feel important. Because the truth is, we can do all those things and not have the Holy Spirit, and therefore all those things that we do actually go to waste. Because it does not glorify God, because we do not have the Holy Spirit. I hope 2015 is a landmark year for our church. A landmark year because we take the Holy Spirit as serious as he deserves to be. Therefore, I believe that the best way to begin this 10-part sermon series and the best way to actually end this sermon today is for all of us here in this room to commit or to recommit ourselves to being filled and led by the Holy Spirit. Now, in the passage that we read today, Jesus said that the promise of the Holy Spirit comes only after Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension into heaven. That means in order to have the Holy Spirit, we must commit our lives and commit ourselves to Jesus, to his death, his resurrection, his ascension, and his promise to come back. If there is no faith commitment to Christ, there's no Spirit. Don't take my word for it. Romans chapter 8, verse 3 to 4 tells us, "For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." That means those who walk according to the Spirit, those who are filled and led by the Spirit of God, are those who believe that Jesus Christ died for sin, rose again, and now sits at the right hand of God the Father, and one day will return back to earth. Only someone who commits their life to that and believes in that walks and is filled and is led by the Holy Spirit. Friends, you cannot glorify God. We cannot glorify God unless we are filled and led and are walking with the Holy Spirit. And the only way that is made possible is if we make a life commitment to Jesus Christ. So let's start this new year the right way. Right? Let's start it on a good note, making sure that all we do glorifies God the Father, God the Son, and through God the Holy Spirit. Please pray with me. As you have your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I mentioned just before that I think the best way to start this new year is to either commit or to recommit our lives to Jesus Christ, to being filled and to be led by the Holy Spirit. Not to think we are, or not just to believe that it somehow just came upon us, but to commit our lives to that and to invite Him into our hearts. So what I want to do right now is, with everyone's heads bowed and eyes closed, if you want to make a commitment for the first time to Jesus Christ, if you want to say that Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior, that you believe that He died for your sin, that He rose again to conquer death, that He sits at the right hand of God the Father, and that He will come back one day. If you want to commit your life to Him for the first time today, can I ask you right now to actually stand up where you are? I want you to actually stand up where you are. There is no one looking. There's no one who can see. But if that's your commitment for the first time, can I ask you to stand up where you are? Right here, right now. Thank you. Please stay standing. Furthermore, if you want to recommit your life to Christ, if you know that 2014 was an empty year for you, that you did all these things but you didn't have the Holy Spirit, you're running on empty all this time, but you right now want to recommit and ask the Holy Spirit to come back into your life, to fill you, to lead you, to walk beside you in all that you do. If you desperately want that and you want to start this new year right, and you want that right now, can I ask you please, stand up where you are. If you want to recommit to being filled with the Spirit and being led by Him, it's not a popularity contest, no one can see you. It's okay if you don't want to. If you want to be filled by Him, please stand up where you are.